Good afternoon, listeners. You are now listening to On the Radar's business segment with me, Hirta Ekanjo, who will be taking you until the hour of 2:30 now in our first news, business news. Capricorn Foundation actually donates $10,000 to Children Life Change Center and Kindergarten.
The Capricorn Foundation on Friday through the Grotius firm handed over food products and items worth $10,000 to the Children Life Change Center and Kindergarten. Speaking to Eagle FM is Capricorn Foundation's coordinator, Veripura Muka.
Okay. So the human fourth year students under the Faculty of Law, so those ones that are studying to become lawyers, they have a subject called Legal Aid and Ethics in their fourth year. So it's a module called Legal Aid and Ethics. So under this module, they have to carry out a community initiative. So what they do is that they scout, they go out in their community, so now in Windhoek, and they look at an initiative or like a social issue that they can sort of support and volunteer under the subject. It's like an assessment. They are actually assessed for that activity that they have to carry out. So what they did was that they went to various orphanages, or they identified that maybe they should focus on children, orphanages and so on. So they visited various orphanages, and that's how they identified the Children Life Change Center. So after scouting at different orphanages, they sort of like, how do I put it, found out that could be one that has a major need, you know, based on the categories that they have or whatever that they were looking at. And then what they did was work on the proposal for that orphanage that they identified. So the one that they identified now is that Children Life Change Center. And so they did a small proposal, or they asked the orphanage as well to, you know, sort of give a concept, like what their needs are and so forth. So this orphanage is run by Miss Frida, and she's supported by her husband. They have about 30 children that live there, that permanently live with them. And then the kindergarten, through the kindergarten, they have another 30. So it's about 60-something, 63, somewhere around the 60s, kids that they house daily. So from the 30, they range from various ages. Some are in school, some are in high school, some are in primary school, and some are as young as months and years. Some were having nappies on, so they are very small. So that's now from the city that lives there. And then the other city, they just come from the neighborhood to come to the kindergarten daily. So this, the place that they live, they actually bought that land or area from the municipality, and they build like one by one as they go. And also when I visited, you know, some of the kids are, you know, still living in the older ones are living in like a shack. And then the smaller ones are housed in the house that they built. And the other part of the house is still not done. So there's no roof and windows and so on. So it's just, they build as they go. They do not have any monthly income or like an organization that has committed to them to say monthly they are committing so much to them and so on. So based on all of this, this is how the fourth year students, you know, came to choose that orphanage. So they worked, they gave us a proposal. I was not here at the time yet, as I only started on the 1st of September. But they gave a proposal to Malise. It was reviewed internally by Malise and the foundation, or the support team here. That was in August. So they approached with a letter, to the foundation. And then based on that, it was internally reviewed and how, the Scripps Foundation decided to support them with, 10,000. So this was actually for goods they grew, for goods such as food and the mattresses and so on, based on what they currently need, just to help them, you know, for now.
Right.
The students also did, get a few other sponsorships from other organizations, and you know, it wasn't a thing of where they went and just did a handover. They had a braai with the kids. They had jumping castles and stuff. So small, also small donations that they got from some individuals and some companies, just so that they can, you know, have like sort of like a fun afternoon and not just do a normal handover. So yeah, so it's under that subject that they have to go out in the community to identify a need and support a need. If they are students, they don't have income also, so that's why they reach out to organizations and why they reached out to us. So their role is basically to coordinate, or their main role is to coordinate.
And that is what we are getting from Capricorn's Foundation Coordinator, Veripura Mukwa, right there. Now heading over to our next business news.
Now the Bank of Namibia's Governor Johannes Kawahap said that there was an urgent need to lubricate the country's economy to support the generally benign economic activities across many sectors of the country. I have my colleague, economist Erastus Nginomwena, on the line. Good afternoon, Erastus. How are you?
Yes, good afternoon to you, ma'am.
Yes, can you just give us a breakdown of this whole urgent need to lubricate the country's economy?
All right. Yes, thank you for the question. Look, the Bank of Namibia is responsible for various reports and various assessments and decisions on our economy. And they keep updating us on a quarterly basis how things are going. And we have seen that during COVID, the government and other economic custodian have initiated the various stimulus packages to help or to assist the business people and household to survive. But now, as we leave, or 2 years now, as we leave the full brunt on COVID-19, we are seeing some of those packages or the effort actually going down. So now it is a reminder, a very beautiful reminder for the Bank of Namibia to say that don't lose the energy, don't lose that effort that you're putting in, because actually we are not out of the wood yet. So it was a beautiful reminder that we can't lose the effort, esteem that we're having in terms of assisting the business community. Because if you look at how the economy is performing right now, it's not at the level where we want it to be. And again, as soon as we came from COVID, we ended the geopolitics between Russia and Ukraine, which have actually a huge impact in terms of supply. So it means that our businesses and our households need more assistance. And if you look at the structure of the Namibian economy, it's more dominated by small and medium enterprises, which do not have big reserves. So, and if they are affected in terms of where they acquire their inputs, if they are affected in terms of utilities, if they are affected in terms of the cost of land, and if they are affected in terms of the absence of beautiful policies, they will not survive further than 2 years. So that's why now there is that urgency that we shouldn't lose the stimulus that we had to stimulate the businesses. Mm-hmm. And this now started from whether you are Minister of Finance or the transport sector or the agricultural sector. And if I can add, if you look at the agricultural sector, we have around registered around 800 horticulture producers, and around 500 of those are small, medium producers. Then how will they survive if the fertilizer, ammonium nitrate, come from Russia?
Mm-hmm.
If sulfur, whatever, and other nitrogen-made fertilizers are coming from Tunisia and are coming from other countries, how they survive? So that's why now it is being encouraged for all the policymakers to come up with measures or to continue with even more better measures that can assist these businesses not to go further behind the game because of the geopolitics, because they were already affected by COVID-19 and most of them hibernated, most of them have reduced their production. So now the impact of COVID-19 was predicted that it will take 5 years. It will take 5 years within the balance sheet and the income statement of this business. And actually things have been made worse by the geopolitics. So now it makes it even more sense or more relevant for policymakers and the banks or the financiers to come on board to come up with better ways to assist digital innovation and making credit and capital more affordable. So there is so much that needs to be done, especially now where even money is expensive, if I want to expand, even if I want to buy an asset. So that's why if now money is expensive, at least make electricity affordable for me or make me access the land so I can maybe just spend the rest of my money, maybe just paying a loan. So those are the type of now initiatives that need to come from all sides if we wanted to maintain and stimulate more economic activities and recover our economy, create employment and pay taxes. So that is what the governor mean or is calling for in this regard.
All right. And now you as an economist, I just want to get from you right before. Do you think COVID-19 is to blame for this whole economic issues that we are facing right now? Or do you think the economy was already, you know, on its way, you know, down the drain before COVID also actually hit us?
Yeah. The last time we had the growth, if I'm not mistaken, a better growth was 2014. We had a beautiful growth. I think it was around 4%. Then from 2015 there to 2016, things started to go sideways. And we know this is because our economy was mostly supported by government. And when the government decided to do physical consolidation in 2015-2016, a bigger chunk of expenditure was reduced. And most of us, more of the private sector, was more dependent on government expenditure. So COVID found already things worse. Like we had the whole 4 or 5 years from 2016 there to 2019, the largest growth we have, I think it was 1.2 growth. So you see, we were already in a ditch and COVID-19 just made things worse. So that's why now even the governor is aware of that and saying that, guys, we not loosen up right now. We have to continue supporting the business sector because they were already in problem with COVID, not the geopolitics. So we were already in trouble.
So the what you mean basically is that we are already on our way to the drain, and then now COVID-19 is to blame for everything.
Yes, we can, and that is actually maybe the people who don't look at statistics or maybe they are far from this. It's not COVID alone to be blamed. We for the past 5 years before 2020, we never experienced a growth above 2%. And actually, I think from 2017 there, it was negative growth and maybe some 0% growth in 2018 or something. So things were really, really bad. And that's why it's so necessary, so important for us or for the country, for the policymakers to ensure that there are mechanisms in place to keep sustaining our business and our entrepreneurs and our investors.
All right. Thank you, Nginomwana, for your time and have a wonderful day.
All right, ma'am. Thanks.
That is what we are getting right there from our own economist, Erastus Nginomwena. Now, Osona decided to introduce Osona Express. Osona Village introduces Osona Express, a daily commuter bus between Windhoek and Osona at a price comparable to public transport in Windhoek. Speaking to Eagle FM is Osona's marketing consultant for Preferred Land Development Holdings, Sebastian Kamungu.
Okay. Basically, what happened is that as you would appreciate, most of the people who live in Osona work in Vanto. So it's become a costly exercise for them to travel, obviously, with their own cars up and down. And with the increase in fuel of late, that became even more urgent that we come up with a solution. So there are two ways. Ways people are dealing with transport. They're either pooling cars, which is sharing cars, whereby one person drives for 1 week, the other person in the other week, and so they are pooling cars. for others who are not in that position, they have to, they make use of the bus. The reason why the bus became a viable option is the price. If you think about it, at about $55 return trip, it's a lot more affordable for people. It's about $900 a month, which is really, considering the distance, it's almost comparable to a taxi fare in Windhoek. If you travel to Katutula, that's about the same. So the idea was to find an affordable way of transport. Because, of course, as you can imagine, that also impacts on sales. Because people would consider, if they want to move, say, but how am I going to travel? But now that you've got a dedicated bus service that runs at regular times on a daily basis, safe and everything else, and affordable, it takes that one question away from people to ask, but what am I going to do if I have a house there? How am I going to get to work? So that's where the whole motivation came from. So basically, at the moment, there are two 60-seater buses running, which are basically full to capacity at the moment. So what we're looking at is introducing other buses as well. At the moment, we only have buses running in the morning and back to Osona in the afternoons. But I think soon, we're considering introducing buses. The bus leaves pretty early in the mornings at the moment. So we'll probably have a bus that will leave a little bit later, and also a bus that will run and back. So that's what, because the demand is increasing on a daily basis. So that's basically what the situation is and what motivated it.
And how is the whole payment going to work? Are there certain fees that everyone will have to be paying on a daily basis, or is it on a monthly basis?
Yeah, we've got daily tickets as well as weekly tickets and monthly tickets. So somebody can acquire a ticket for a trip on a specific day, or they can acquire for a week or so. And what a lot of employers are also looking at now is actually buying bus tickets for their employees. That's one thing that we're getting a number of requests in that, whereby employers are looking at the option of buying bus tickets for their employees.
All right.
That is what we are getting right there regarding Osona village residents actually getting, you know, monthly or weekly paid transport to Windhoek. And it's, of course, 30 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock, and you are listening to On the Radar's Business Segment with me, Hertai Kanjo. Now, the Mariental mayor actually came out to say that they are going to host a sports, fundraising. Take a listen to what she has to say.
The Mariental Mayor Shireen Kok has called for a sports fundraising event that is to take place in Mariental in order for them to gather money to help those who are in need.
Okay. The Mariental fundraising is a fundraising initiative that is initiated by the Office of the Mayor. We have seen the challenges within our community. We've seen that each and every day people are popping into the office of the mayor asking for assistance in several social issues that they feel that the office of the mayor will cater for. And if we perhaps can identify and name these issues is, for example, we are having school kids that have finished with their high school in grade 12 and that feels that the office of the mayor or the council itself should sponsor or donate them or to help them with financial assistance to go for tertiary entry in tertiary universities or colleges whereby they want to acquire a certificate or a diploma. So, and also, but the struggle is real, the hunger is real, the poverty is real amongst our communities, and we have seen that our people are struggling with daily livelihoods. We often have to buy combos, food parcels for our people that are coming to cry at the office of the mayor that they have not eaten for several days. And also when there are funerals, we would usually assist with free graves from the council. We have rates on that graves that people are paying for, but due to the circumstances that are arising, we usually give them free burial graves and food parcels that can assist, that can help them during this funeral arrangement. So when we have identified these areas, we thought of coming up with fundraising events, because the office of the mayor does not have enough funds, and we usually have to source from other votes that has budget, that is budgeted from for in the council. So that's whereby we have come up with these fundraising initiatives to raise funds and to cater more for our community in Marindal, and also to assist them where the need is and where the cries are. And that's why we thought of coming up for a mayoral soccer tournament and a mayoral netball tournament that will be hosted on the 23rd of September to the 26th of September coming next weekend. And these teams that will participate in this event is all the local authorities will participate, all the regional councils, all the office of the governors, all the constituency offices, the STCs, the CDC offices, every local authority that is willing. So far we have so much participants that are willing to participate and that has registered to partake in this event. We've also planned for a mayoral gala dinner that will be hosted on the 23rd of September, Friday night. The games will start in the morning. So in the evening, there will be a mayoral gala dinner that will be hosted. And it is also part of the fundraising. We've already received pledges. For example, like the Harap Regional Council has, I see a deposit that they made for a pledge for $10,000. And separately, they've also bought a table for the councillors at the Harap Regional Council. So, We ensure all the donors and all the supporters and sympathizers of this event and all the residents of Marindal that this fundraising event and money that is raised will be used for the correct purposes and it will reach the intended residents of Marindal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When is this fundraising sports event set to take place?
It will be taking place on the 23rd to the 26th of September here in Marindal at the Marindal Sports Grounds.
And everyone is welcome. Right.
So we hereby invite all sponsors, donors, people that do not attend but that has that feeling of donating or to pledge something small. It will be highly appreciated because it is only for the residents of Marindal and the well-being of our people. COVID has hit us very hard, and that's how most of the people has lost their jobs, no employment, and that is making the struggle real.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope anybody that is not feeling left out.
Mm-hmm.
It is exactly 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock, and this has actually brought us to the end of our business segment right here on Eagle FM. I am going to hand over to my colleague Eba in the Ondangwa station, who will be bringing you the latest news in Oshiwambo. See you guys next time. Same place right here on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station.